23 and looking at verse 6, the last phrase of verse 6, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The forever makes it clear that he's talking about heaven and not the tabernacle. We've been looking at the joys of heaven. We closed last week with the joy of hearing what we hear, hearing the sounds of heaven. Revelation 5, verses 11 and 12, Revelation 19, we see saints of God praising the Lord. There will be the joy of purity. That is something we have never experienced in this life, the joy of complete and perfect purity, because everywhere we turn in this life, there's defilement. And as Paul said in Romans 7, even when we do good, evil is present within us. But in heaven, there's nothing unclean, nothing unholy, nothing impure, nothing unchaste that shall ever cast its shadow upon heaven. Nothing at all. We can't even imagine the joy of that. Also in heaven, of course, will be the joy of fellowship. Be perfect fellowship. Perfect fellowship with the Lord as we walk through this life. We do so as pilgrims. We're just passing through. We also do so as strangers. There's a strangeness. We are not fully understood by the world. And we know what joy we experience when we can have fellowship with brothers and sisters in Christ, but all of our fellowship on earth is imperfect. And it doesn't take much to destroy fellowship. Certainly doesn't take much to mar fellowship. Personalities mar fellowship all the time. Problems can mar fellowship. Fellowship can literally be destroyed on this earth. But there's coming a time when there will be perfect fellowship. No disagreements. No other way of perceiving things. Everybody will have the same perception. There won't be anything to disagree on. That's why we know a great change is going to take place, because I believe I know some of God's people who would be miserable if there wasn't something to disagree upon. But they're going to be changed, and there will be nothing to disagree. There will be the joy of complete victory. One day we cross over into perfect and complete victory. We've never experienced that. We have the victory right now. And right now we are more than conquerors through Christ. But we do not have complete victory. And there's always things to mar our victories. We can have victory, and in a matter of seconds we can bring defeat into our life with just our thoughts. But in Revelation 21 and verse 4, it says, God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death. Can't even imagine a life with no death. But there shall be no more death. Death has been conquered. No more sorrow. Not just sorrow over death, but all kinds of sorrow. Nor crying. Again, not just crying over death, but all the things that cause people to cry. Neither shall there be any more pain. And perhaps the best part of that verse is, for the former things have passed away. The former things, all the things of earth have passed away. In this life, we battle with our flesh every single day. We battle with our own sin. We battle with the sin of others. We battle with our own thinking. We battle with the thinking of others. Everywhere we turn, there's decay. Everywhere we turn, there's temptations. There are difficulties. There are trials. There are sorrows. There's misery on every hand. Persecution. In this life, if we live like we ought to live, there's going to be persecution. There will be no persecution in heaven. As long as we live in these earthly bodies, there's going to be affliction, there's going to be disease, there's going to be struggles. But the former things are passed away. Again, everywhere we turn in this life, there's defilement, there's wickedness, ungodliness, that which is offensive. There's no defilement in heaven, no wickedness in heaven, nothing that we would find offensive in heaven. But all of these things will be passed away. In addition, there's no more Satan. He's gone. He's here, of course, to devour. He's here to hinder. Whenever you enjoy the blessings of God, Satan's going to show up. He can show up in many forms. He can show up in your own sinful flesh, your own thinking. He can show up in other individuals, but he's going to show up. I mean, and you find yourself, which kind of mars the blessings, when you're enjoying the blessings of God, you find yourself looking for Satan to show up because you know he's going to. And as you look, we sort of fall into one of his traps. But there's no more of his traps, no more of his devices, no more of his tricks. All these effects of sin forever gone. That's all we've known our whole life, is living life with the effects of sin everywhere. Everything's hindered by the effects of sin. Our prayer life's hindered by the effects of sin. Our worship, everything we do is affected by the results of sin. So heaven will be perfect blessing without any trace of the curse. We don't have that here. We've never had that here. Here we can have blessing, but there's always a trace of the curse. Always. It's always there. It's within ourselves. We can't get away from it. So we're talking about complete and undisputed victory in heaven. We can't even imagine the joy of such. Part of that is there will be the joy of perfect worship. Perfect worship. In this life, we've never even come close to perfect worship. We have desires. You and I that are saved, we have desires to perfectly worship God. We have desires to, and we've had wonderful times of worship in this life. In fact, I believe I can say that the best times of my earthly life have been times of worship. And we've had wonderful times of worship, but I have never once worshiped God like I ought to. Never have. Not going to in this life. There's always hindrances. Our own flesh is a hindrance.
We never fully see the God we worship, so it can't be perfect. We never fully realize the God we worship. We never fully feel what we ought to feel when we worship the Lord. And we grow weary. We grow weary. We, in our worship, our bodies get tired. Our minds get tired. We grow weary. Not in heaven. Heaven, we're going to fully realize His majesty. We're going to fully realize and experience His glory, His love, His grace, His mercy, His kindness. We're going to fully realize what He has done for us. And the result will be we will worship. And we see it all through the book of Revelation. And as you look at the verses in Revelation where there's multitudes bowing down to God, if you look at it and you look at their, we're not going to take the time today, but you look at what they say, it increases. It starts in Revelation 4, 9, and 10, and then you see it again in Revelation 5 and Revelation 7, and on you can go. And you'll see it increases in words, what they say. There will be the joy of just feeling what we feel in heaven. So heaven is a place in this life. Heaven is a place of anticipation. We ought to live in anticipation of heaven. And the older we get, the more we realize we're getting closer to heaven, the less attached we are to this world, and the more we anticipate heaven. You look at, and this is not a criticism of anybody, it's just a fact. You listen to people talk about heaven. And of the saints of God, who talks the most about heaven? The elderly. Because they realize they're getting closer. And the anticipation grows. And that's not a criticism of those who are younger. I don't mean it that way at all. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul spoke of the struggles of earthly life. And in chapter 4, verse 1, he said, "We faint not," which implies the presence of difficulty. In chapter 4, and verse 4, he talks about the workings of Satan. And in chapter 4, verse 8 and 9, he says, "We're troubled on every side." He's describing earthly life. And he talks about being perplexed and being persecuted and cast down. Then if you were to go over to the book of Acts, or I'm sorry, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 10, he spoke of bearing in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. And in chapter 4, verse 11, he speaks of always being delivered unto death for Jesus' sake. And in other words, there was always the threat of death. But then notice in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 17 and 18. He looks at all these earthly afflictions, but he looks at them now in a different light. And that's a healthy exercise, is to look at earthly afflictions in a different light. Don't just look at it in the light of the earthly, but look at it in the light of heaven, and things change. He says in verse 17, "For our light affliction." See, he now sees it as light affliction, "which is but for a moment," that is, it doesn't last forever, "worketh for us." Big difference in something working for us than working against us. "Worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, which are all the things he's just described, all the suffering. A lot depends on what you're looking at. But at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So he looks at things in the light of the eternal rather than the temporal. In Romans 8, verse 18, he says it's a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. So we see that his focus is the eternal, not the temporal. That's something we have to work on every single day. Because you can get mighty, mighty depressed if you focus upon the temporal. I'm not talking about ignoring the temporal. That could be irresponsible. But we're not to focus upon the temporal. And I do believe that if you grow spiritually, that gets easier as you get older. But Paul is anticipating heaven. He's anticipating it. He's looking forward to it. He said in Philippians 1, verse 21, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." You notice in 2 Timothy and the prison epistles generally, Paul talks more about death in those epistles than the others. Because that's what he's thinking about. And he's looking forward to it. As you read those verses in which he writes upon death, he's anticipating it. He's looking forward to it. Other people may not want to hear it, but it's, guess what? You're going to die. You're going to die. And it's something we ought to anticipate. 1 Peter 1, verse 4, Peter expressed his anticipated assurance of heaven. 2 Corinthians 5:5, he says, "We've been given the Holy Spirit as a promise of what is to come." And that Holy Spirit creates a desire. That Holy Spirit creates a longing for heaven. We see his longing for heaven in Philippians 3, verse 20. Colossians 3, verses 1 and 2. So the Psalm 23 life is the realization that surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. It's living life realizing that fact. But it's also living in the anticipation and longing for, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's the anticipation. But until we get to heaven, we have the wonderful experience of the Lord as our shepherd. We have the green pastures. We have the still waters. We have the table set before us. We have God's anointing upon our lives. We have God's goodness and mercy following us. And we have a place prepared that is beyond this life. And all of this is all the days of my life. So the 23rd Psalm begins and ends with the Lord. The Lord is my shepherd. And it ends with, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So it begins and ends with the Lord, and he occupies all the space in between. And so it should be with our life. It is a life in which the Lord is all. Read the 23rd Psalm. Meditate upon it. Realize the truth of Psalm 23. Draw from it. You can draw from it every day. the Lord is. I mean, those first three words, you can draw all day from those words. Then the Lord is my shepherd. Live in it. And when we can do that, we can say and experience with the psalmist, my cup runneth over. My cup runneth over. This is the life that you and I are to live. Next week we'll begin a different series. It'll be much shorter than this one, but we will begin a different series. In fact, it'll be on the other end of the spectrum, really. We're going to look at Romans chapter 1, not the whole chapter, but the latter part of that chapter. Let's look to the Lord. Word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We pray, Lord, for those that aren't here because they can't be. We pray, Lord, that you would be with them in a special way. Lord, that you would just cause them to feel your presence. And Lord, we know that they desire to be here, but your providence does not allow it to be. So we just pray that you'd help them. We do pray, Lord, that you'd be with those who aren't here but can be. You know their hearts, and we just leave them with you. And we do pray today, Lord, for us that are here, Lord, that you would draw us closer to you. Draw us closer together. Help us, Lord, to be what we ought to be. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.